We've got Jaleel Shah on the phone. Jaleel, are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. So Jaleel, welcome to the show. I'm glad that we were able to make this work. You have been traveling and traveling and traveling. So
yeah.
So I appreciate you being able to pull this together. So welcome. Welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Show. So So why don't you tell us a little bit about the tune that we just heard? That was the Heavyweight Champion. It was from your an older album of yours called Perspective.
Well, the Heavyweight Champion was actually it was written for I wrote it for John Coltrane, and I was really into I'm still into a lot of his compositions, you know, that were based on the Coltrane changes. And a friend of mine had heard me play on 26-2, and he was like, "Man, you know, actually, I was sitting at home trying to write a song," and actually, his name is Tim Green. He's a great alto saxophonist.
Yeah.
And he called me. And he said, "Man, you know, I think he heard me play it at the Monk competition." And he said, "Man, I really dug what you played on 26-2. And I was sitting trying to write music, you know, when he said it, and I couldn't come up with anything. So I just started doing something based off of 26-2. And, you know, I just came up with the Heavyweight Champion. And I called it that because there's a box set.
Yeah, of course.
The Heavyweight Champion. So
yeah, that's a great box set too. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And some of the other tunes we played while you know you were probably getting off a plane is the Flip Side we played as well as what else do we play? Grand Central.
Grand Central.
Yeah. So what about those two tunes? What's the deal with those two? Because those are two of my favorites.
Well, Grand Central is from the great Cannonball and Coltrane record.
Yeah, of course.
It's one of my favorite recordings. And actually one of my first transcriptions when I was really young was the Cannonball solo on Grand Central.
Yeah.
And I've always really been into it. And one of my favorite musicians is Mark Turner. And I've always wanted to record with him. So I thought about the alto and, you know, tenor combination, and I thought about Train and Cannonball, and I said, maybe I can do something with Grand Central. So I kind of, you know, rearranged it a little bit, changed some things up, you know, for us to play over.
Sure.
You know, I'm hoping actually, one of my plans is to maybe do another recording with Mark, you know, just us playing together, maybe do a couple more rearrangements of the other songs that are on that record.
Yeah.
The Flip Side I wrote because I was just practicing changes. It was kind of like a challenge to me because I was practicing alter changes and just practicing different kind of changes. And while I was practicing these chord changes, I kind of came up with a line over the changes, you know, and I wrote it down, and, you know, I wanted to have a lot of different rhythmic things going on. There's like bars of five, and it moves around a lot in this space. There's drum solos, you know, which is kind of, I shouldn't say rare, but, you know, I never thought like that before to have a drum solo in the middle of the the melody.
Yeah.
But, you know, I set that up, you know, for just to have it open. And, you know, it was just a kind of a creative, you know, it was a challenge for me to write something different, you know, for me to play over. And it ended up, sometimes I write things and they ended up just being just that, just things for me to practice over. But I ended up really liking the melody, and I ended up liking, you know, the changes that I wrote. So I decided to use it, you know, as a composition.
Definitely. So, great. So, Jaleel, you're playing here in Boston on February 7th at Cafe 939 during the Checkout Series. It's going to be broadcast on BGO, and that's going to be awesome. Definitely looking forward to that because you are a Berklee graduate.
That's right.
So it's kind of like a full circle kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before I ask you about that, which I will in a second, why don't you give a really quick synopsis? What was the moment, you know, like the epiphany moment, per se, that's what my dad calls it at least, when you decided to do this, just play saxophone and to get involved in jazz? What was that for you?
I kind of knew that I wanted to play music when I was really young. I probably had only been playing for about 2 or 3 years, and I realized that I really wanted to do it for a living. And it's funny because I was asked, when I was in high school, I was a freshman in high school, And I was asked, you know, what is your plan for the future? Do you want to keep doing music? And I said, yes, you know, I want to keep doing music, but not only do I want to keep doing music, but I want to go to Berklee College of Music, and I want to go to Manhattan School of Music, and I want to do this and do that. And it's crazy when I look back at that. It was an interview for my school paper, but when I look back at that, and I'm like, man, I really, you know, I really set some serious goals, you know, then. And I guess, you know, when I was young, even before I set that goal, when I was young, I got a lot of exposure, and I was able to play with different people. So I guess I was having so much fun that I never even thought of doing anything else, you know. And when you're 11 and 12 years old, you know, getting to play music, you know, that much, and you know that this is something that I can do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, that's just it, you know.
Yeah. So speaking of Berklee, you know, obviously you had the idea of going to Berklee in mind from a very young age.
Right.
So how would you then characterize your experience at Berklee, since, you know, this is kind of what we're celebrating, the fact that you went on to do some great things since graduating.
Right.
Yeah. How would you summarize that, your years in Boston?
It was amazing. In fact, you know, when I think about having gone to Berklee, I think it was like one of the best decisions that I've made in my life, you know. And it wasn't hard to make it because they gave me a scholarship before I could apply to any other school, you know. So, you know, I didn't really have time. I shouldn't say I didn't have time. I didn't even really think about, you know, going to any other school.
Right.
But it was a great experience because I had great teachers that not only were great teachers, but really, really cared. You know, they really cared about my development. They cared about my future.
Sure.
And they really made sure that I got what I needed, you know, when it came time for me to go out into the real world, you know.
Right.
I also was there doing there were a lot of great musicians there, a lot of great musicians. Actually, I just got back from the jazz cruise with Anat Cohen. She was there. Lionel Loueke was there, Avishai Cohen, Miguel Zenon, Jeremy Pelt, Patrick Cornelius, Bob Reynolds, Walter Smith, Kendrick Scott, Warren Wolf. There were so many great musicians, Dana Stevens. You know, they were all there, and we were all playing together and doing sessions and hanging out. So even now when I'm in New York, you know, and I'm on a scene, I look back and I realize that I was around like a lot of the guys that are really doing great things now.
Sure.
You know? So it was a great time to be there. And I really love Boston too. I think Boston is a great town.
Yeah.
Just for learning, you know.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. And it's funny that you mentioned Dana, because Dana did this before you, the checkout series before you. And when I asked him that question, he said the same thing. And the question that that I asked him, that I'm going to ask you next, was, you know, how does it feel to be coming back to Berklee as kind of like this accomplished, you know, you're no longer a student, you're kind of looked at as the, you know, like the idol for these kids that are like in your, that were in your shoes, that are in the shoes that you were in. How does it feel to be coming back to Berklee and being, to be playing there as the status that you are now? That has to be kind of, you know, kind of great, but maybe a little weird. How does it feel for you?
It feels... And, you know, it's a great feeling,
yeah.
You know, and it feels weird too, because it seems like I just graduated, you know?
Yeah, that's what Dana said.
It seems like I was just there, and now I'm coming back and doing a workshop with people, and I'm going to be telling them things, you know, giving them ideas of things to work on. But it feels good too to give back to a school that gave me so much, you know? There was so much love and support there that, you know, as soon as they asked me to do it, I said yes, because I just like what Berklee has to offer. So
of course, yeah. And then that leads me to another question regarding your career path. You chose to go to Manhattan School after, that is pretty much the game plan for most, if not all, you know, jazz musicians that are over at Berklee, is their plan to go to New York directly after. So since you did that, what advice can you give to those kids that are, you know, that are probably going to follow in that same path?
Well, I would say be prepared for a different scene I think Berkeley, and I haven't been in Berkeley. I don't really know what the scene is like compared to what it was like when I was there.
Sure.
But, you know, if they go to Manhattan, they have to understand that Manhattan is a conservatory.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was playing at Berkeley, I wasn't only playing jazz. I was playing, you know, the singer-songwriters showcase, and, you know, I was playing so many different styles of music. When you go to Manhattan, it's just going to be jazz and classical music.
Yeah.
And you'll be lucky if you get to, you know, do some of the classical music, if you get to participate in any of those classes. Also, I would say, you know, get on the New York scene, you know, as much as you can. Not too much. Make sure you're practicing. But one of the first things that happened to me was when I came in town, I really didn't hang out on the scene very much. And luckily, I did get gigs. I started playing with the Mingus Band like a couple months after I moved to New York.
Right.
But I wasn't on the scene that much. I didn't hang or anything. And I remember going down to a club called the Zinc Bar.
Yeah.
And ran into a guitarist named Russell Malone. And he's like, you know, he comes up to me and says, "Man, you know, I've been hearing about you. I've heard so much about you, but I haven't seen you." You know, he said, "I've never seen you. I've never heard you. And people have been talking about you." And I said, "I've been in school and I've just been, you know, I haven't really hung out." And he said, "Well, you know what they say, out of sight, out of mind, you know."
Yeah.
And that always rang with me, like, you know, like, you have to kind of be present on the scene, you know, not only be present, but you have to, you know, you have to have a good reputation, too. But, you know, if you want to really move forward, like, you have to let people know that you're here, you know. So take the time to hang a little bit, you know, shed and practice at home. You know, and when you can, get out and make, you know, let people hear you so that when you do finish school, you know, people will know that you're in town and that you're ready.
Yeah. So, that said, you last released an album called Optimism, and that was in 2008, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you tell me that you're coming out with something new in March. Which is great. It's been 5 years, so I know we're all really...
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, so what were you doing in 5 years? So 5 years, you put this new album together, right? So tell me a little bit about what we can listen for in March.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say it took me 5 years to put this out, but since I'm doing it independently, it takes a while to get the money to put it out.
Yeah.
This is a very expensive process.
It's a process.
So I actually could have put it out maybe a couple years ago, but the band that I had then didn't work out, and I decided to start a new band. And in that time, I was commissioned to write for the Brooklyn Museum and the Rubin Museum in New York.
Yeah.
So I wrote these pieces based on art, you know, and museums, and probably. Maybe less than a year after that, I started writing more. And I went through a lot of changes in my life, just a lot of very personal things that kind of set me back musically a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But just things that, you know, really had me reflect, you know, lost people in my life and, you know, friendships and, you know, different things in my life really changed. And some, you know, some things were devastating. My father died and, you know, my cousin was, you know, killed in that motorcycle accident. So things just kind of threw me off.
Yeah.
But when I look back at all the songs that I wrote that year, you know, even at the titles, you know, they all spoke to the things that just happened, you know, in my life. So it was kind of crazy for me that, you know, to look back and see that all these songs that, you know, and all these titles reflected what just happened in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So the name of the album is going to be the soundtrack of things to come.
Cool.
And, it's a less technical album and a more emotional album. I'm just really expressing myself and getting emotions out as much as I can. And, it's really about that. I think this album is more about expression. And, you know, even though I feel like all my music is, like, most of the music is really written, it's coming from the heart, you know.
Sure.
More so than the others have.
And will we be hearing any tunes from that album on the 7th? Will we be playing any of the new ones, or are you keeping it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll be playing some of the songs. I'm gonna try to mix it up since, you know, this is gonna be my first time playing at Berklee. But
yeah,
probably most of the songs actually will be from the new album.
Great. So February 7th, we can here at Cafe 939, Berklee College of Music, Boylston Street, we'll be able to hear a couple of the new tunes from this album that's getting coming out on March 12th.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye out for that. And then before I let you go, because I know that there's some kind of game on today. That
you know what? I haven't. I'm kind of missing it, and I haven't been following the
me
NFL.
Neither.
So I'm not really. My TV's not even on, so you don't even have to worry about it.
I hear there's some kind of game, and it's a kind of, I guess it's a big deal. And, you know, so I don't want to keep you, though, just in case you, you know, just in case you wanted to check it out. But I will ask you, you know, what can we expect on the 7th, at this concert at Berklee? Why should we come, besides the fact that, you know, you're a great musician? What are you doing? What is it?
Well, why should you come? You should come because
pretend I don't know anything about jazz. Pitch it to me.
Well, you're going to hear something. You're going to hear someone express themselves in a way that maybe you haven't heard before. If you haven't heard jazz before, I would say you're going to hear someone express themselves. You know, and I think that that's you know what this music is about. And you know, we're going to have fun. You know, you're going to hear my music and see where I'm coming from, and that's what I try to do when I play. I try to express myself and tell you my story. So, you know, I guess that's what I can say. You're going to hear the real story, you know, and you know, you get to meet me and, you know, talk. And unfortunately I won't have the CDs there, but I'll have my CD Optimism there, and
great.
I'll probably be signing it, and you know, I'll be hanging out. I'm really looking forward to Boston. Not the cold weather, though, because I know it's probably freezing up there, right?
Well, hopefully it doesn't snow when you come up here. It's been kind of, it's been cold.
Really?
It has been kind of cold, but, you know, that's Boston for you, so you should be used to it, you know, after spending time at Berklee.
Yeah, but I haven't been there such a long time that it's a new thing to me now.
Yeah. Well, I know that Boston is really looking forward to having you here, and we are so excited to have you perform. As you said, it's your first time performing at Berklee since you graduated, right?
Yeah.
So this is definitely a milestone, and we're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, Julia. Well, thank you so much for giving me a buzz and for being able to do this interview in the midst of all your traveling and everything. We really appreciate it. And
anytime.
Yeah, and we're going to close up with one tune, another tune from you called Muna's Sleeping, and it's from Optimism. So what is the song about before we listen to it?
This song is about I wrote it for my, one of my best friends who actually just picked me up from the airport, Jonathan Blake, the drummer on the CD. He has a little daughter. She's almost 7 now, but when she was a baby, she was always awake and hanging out at the jazz club with us, you know, and she would just be so vibrant and, you know, it would be 12 o'clock in the morning and she would just be wide awake, you know?
Yeah.
And I just imagine that when she finally did get rest, that it was just this great, you know, she just had these amazing dreams, and because she was just always so happy, and, you know, I just imagine these vivid dreams that she had. So, I mean, there's a piece on there called Muna's Dreaming. Dream? I don't even remember what it's called.
Yeah, Muna's Dream.
Muna's Dream. But Muna's Sleeping is just about just a baby finally getting to sleep, and what it's like when it's peaceful and quiet, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's check it out. Again, thank you so much, Jaleel. And of course, and definitely tune in or BGO, or go to the concert, of course, if you're here in Boston, February 7th, 8 o'clock, Cafe 939, right there on Boylston Street. You can't miss it. It's going to be an amazing show, and definitely everybody should check it out. So before we...